Now, the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan following the withdrawal of U.S. troops has triggered a potential refugee crisis as Afghans fearing a return to life under the Taliban attempt to leave the country. Governor Evers last week said that hundreds or in the low thousands of those refugees will be resettling in Wisconsin, at least temporarily, in the coming weeks. Some of them have now started to arrive at Fort McCoy in the western part of the state. Refugee resettlement is a complicated process, normally one that takes a very long time, but U.S. organizations have had to speed up some of their work in the midst of the crisis. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the situation for people leaving Afghanistan and the system in place for refugees? Have you or someone in your family been a refugee here in the United States? What would you want people to know about your experience? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dawn Bernay is Executive Director of Jewish Social Services of Madison. Dawn, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
To start off, Dawn, can you talk about what kind of work you're doing to meet the needs of these special immigration visa applicants arriving in Wisconsin now?
Well, what's interesting about the SIVs, the people you referred to, the special immigrant visa applicants, are typically they come to the United States already with their SIV in hand. The people arriving at Fort McCoy right now in likelihood have been in process of getting that SIV, of becoming an SIV, but they're not there yet. So they're finishing up the paperwork that's needed so that they can have that certification. And we actually have not yet been connected with anyone at Fort McCoy because they have to finish that process first.
What kind of work would you usually do in anticipation of a new refugee or refugee family arriving?
When we know that a family is going to be arriving to Madison, the absolute first thing that we do is find appropriate housing for them. It needs to be somewhere on a bus line because they are obviously not coming with their own vehicle. And we work with a volunteer organization called Open Doors for Refugees to fully furnish and get all the home goods in the home. We also fill the refrigerator and the pantry for about a week's worth of food and make sure there is a culturally appropriate meal ready for them on the day of arrival.
As you said, these special immigrant visas, many of these applicants are still in process. They'll just be staying at Fort McCoy, presumably, while this is going on. Are you looking for ways to help them out while they're there? Because obviously, while they're there, they're not going to be able to move out into their own housing quite yet.
We are waiting to see what the federal government asks of us. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, for example, that at Fort Lee in the D.C. area, they've been using volunteer lawyers to help speed up the process of getting some of those applications completed. I expect the same thing to be happening here in Wisconsin.
You've worked with refugees from elsewhere in the world. What, in your mind, is the most important thing to help a new refugee fleeing difficult conditions, of course, not bringing much stuff with them? What is the key to them making a successful transition to a new and, to them, I assume, very different country?
The first thing that we do is we help to make sure that they feel safe. Obviously, if they're coming to the United States as a refugee, safety is a major reason for escaping where they've been living in the past. And we do a 6 to 12 session cultural orientation with them where we work with them to help them with everything from riding the bus to enrolling their children in school or ESL classes, to helping them find a job or go back to school if that's what they choose to do. Those are all things that will help people feel more comfortable about being in the United States and being part of a community.
And Dawn, before we let you go, for people out there listening, thinking, yes, I would like to help these new Afghan arrivals, people who have been refugees already or refugees of the future, what kind of things can ordinary people do?
The biggest thing right now that we can use are financial contributions because we don't know when the new arrivals are coming to Madison. And honestly, cash donations gives us the flexibility to buy for the new families arriving, our new neighbors, to buy them what they need to do well in our country.
Dawn, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Dawn Bernay, Executive Director of Jewish Social Services of Madison. She told us about her organization's efforts to help refugees coming to Wisconsin, including Afghan refugees coming to Wisconsin after the Taliban took over their country. Now we take a look at the developing refugee situation in Afghanistan. Tens of thousands of Afghans who helped the U.S. during the war have applied for special visas to come to the U.S., and an unknown number of Afghan civilians are also trying to leave the country. Many are still stuck in Afghanistan. The White House says it may extend its August 31st deadline for withdrawing all troops. Elise Cohen is an associate professor of political science at UW-Green Bay. She researches refugees, human rights, and U.S. foreign policy. Elise, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Elise, you and I have talked about a number of different categories of immigrant or refugee seeker, asylum seeker in the United States. I don't know if we've ever talked about this special immigrant visa status that's so critical to understanding this story about Afghanistan and the United States. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the SIV program goes back to 2009 when Congress passed an Afghan Allies Protection Act. And it was really designed to ensure safe haven specifically for military allies, interpreters, translators, others who were employed by the U.S. government or by a partnering force and would be targeted by the Taliban and by other forces in retaliation for helping the U.S. with its military efforts. What's interesting is that in recent months, we've had an awareness that there was going to need to be more of the SIVs available. So Congress did increase the allotment to up to 34,500 SIVs. We should also note that very few of the allotment had been already used. They were sort of falling behind because some of these applications have been in the pipeline for SIVs for many years. So there's sort of a backlog, and now we are seeing part of that in the reason so many are desperate to flee and were not already evacuated prior to this troop withdrawal.
Why was there such a backlog already?
A lot of the issues are sort of bureaucratic and logistical. There are several lawsuits even in place because some people have been killed while they were waiting for the processing to go through. One of the changes and amendments made to the law last month by Congress recognized that and said that the SIV application could still go through even in the case that the primary applicant had been killed. So maybe like the family members, the children, or the spouse of the interpreter or translator who had been killed could receive protection nonetheless. The U.S. government has said there's a problem with program staffing. A lot of it is the application forms. If you actually look at the application form, there are so many steps for it to go through. A letter of recommendation is even needed by a superior officer. It's sometimes hard to track those people down to give the letter of recommendation for that person who helped with the U.S. effort. And there are also, in some cases, delays or rejections based on spelling and grammar errors.
That slow bureaucratic process ran headlong now into this, I think to a lot of people, surprising collapse of the government in Afghanistan as U.S. troops are withdrawing. What are you seeing happen now in the scramble to get people out before the Taliban can retaliate against them?
Yes, I think there's a lot of surprise that it was just around 11 days for this collapse to unfold. One thing that we see is there is responsibility sharing already happening with other countries. So many people might have heard that Doha and Qatar has been a place receiving a lot of those as they're being processed. It's really important to point out that a lot of security vetting is happening for everyone that will be brought into the U.S. through these evacuation flights, if they're special immigrants for the SIV, or if it's a broadened expansion of the refugee program to help those Afghans as well. And we also see countries stepping up, announcing they will contribute. So we heard from Canada saying it will resettle roughly 20,000 Afghan refugees fleeing the Taliban. We heard of the UK commit to about 5,000 and maybe a larger number like 20,000 over the next few years. One thing that it's really important to emphasize here is that 85 to 90% of Afghan refugees are already being hosted by the neighboring countries like Iran and Pakistan.
We pick up our talk now with UW-Green Bay Associate Professor of Political Science, Elise Cohen, about the Afghan refugee situation as special immigrant visa applicants arrive in Wisconsin at Fort McCoy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how this process works? Do you want to see the U.S. Open things up to bring in as many of these refugees as possible? Do you have concerns about it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Elise, there's been pretty broad public support for bringing in refugees, especially those who, as we talked about, worked with American troops, the families thereof, fearing retaliation. There has been some criticism from members of Congress and others, including Wisconsin's Tom Tiffany. He says the process is reckless. And sorry, I had a quote here. Here it is. He says, Afghanistan is a dangerous country that's home to many dangerous people. What are the safety concerns in the vetting process for these SIV applicants?
Yes, for the Biden administration's recent announcement, I think we can sort of get at Representative Tiffany's concern. So the Biden administration has made clear that no one is being brought into the U.S. until they've already gone through security vetting. So the security vetting entails counterterrorism officials, State Department, Department of Homeland Security, and they are often doing a very thorough job as part of the delay, why we saw such a backlog. And even now, before anyone would be brought in from a third country or, let's say, a U.S. military base where they're being processed, they would already go through some of that rigorous screening and vetting to come here.
That said, as you said, this is a lengthy process. There was a backlog. Is there an effort to, cut through red tape, at least make it go, the process go faster while still addressing those security concerns?
Yeah, I think the administration is being a bit more tight-lipped on exactly how many refugees or SIV holders, particularly those that are just applicants, not holders. I think the first priority is absolutely those that already had their application in waiting or it had gone through, but to really focus on security vetting for those that were eligible or might be just, quote unquote, refugees. They're not eligible because they didn't do the full 1 year of service required for the SIV program, or maybe they worked with a women's rights organization or some other sort of nonprofit, and that's why they're being targeted. And those people would go through maybe more of the regular refugee resettlement route. So at this point, the Biden administration isn't committing to a number, and I think that's really key because they are trying to figure out on the bureaucratic side, how are they going to handle the length of time for the security vetting? And so they probably don't want to commit to a specific number until they get a sense of having enough staffing to do that.
Fort McCoy here in Wisconsin is one of a few military bases in the U.S. that are taking in these applicants to complete their process. Governor Evers says he was told maybe high hundreds or low thousands. That doesn't necessarily mean just because they've come to Fort McCoy that they're going to end up here in Wisconsin. What determines where a refugee who's successfully completed the application process ends up living?
Yeah, that's a really great point to keep in mind as well. Back in 1980, some listeners may remember that Fort McCoy was used for processing Cuban refugees. There were about 14,000 Cuban refugees that were received there. It ended up that just a couple thousand actually resettled here in the area. Most of them were resettled in Florida or other states. And so that's something else that will be based on whether there are family connections that those Afghans have, or it could be a preference, or it could be the resettlement agency has, networked and found career opportunities. They do try and give some choice, of course, to the refugees or the SIV recipients themselves. But yes, if we could look back to the past, we might see that the number that ends up coming through Fort McCoy, it's important to keep in mind, would not necessarily be the number that will actually take up residence in Wisconsin.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Marie is with us in Green Bay. Marie, hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is twofold. Number one, approximately how long does it take to do this vetting? And then the second question is based on the fact that I heard that the previous administration had dramatically cut the number of people that were working on helping these Afghanis, et cetera, get vetted. And so my understanding is because of that, that's why this current administration is behind, and that the Biden administration, the current administration, is really having to do a lot of catch up. And they just, would that be a correct statement? And can you address that? And I'll take my call offline.
Marie, thanks for the call. Elise, had we seen cuts in the sorts of bureaucratic officials who would handle these kind of applications?
Yeah, those are both great questions from Marie. So on the first one of how long the vetting process takes because of maybe some cuts, what we can think of is the refugee resettlement infrastructure as a whole had really been decimated under the previous administration. But in the past few months, the Biden administration has been trying to build that back up. So while the administration's far behind from meeting the refugee resettlement ceiling for the fiscal year, last month, I believe, the number of refugees processed had actually doubled from the previous month. So there was a lot of progress in making up some of that ground. Now, for the SIVs, the full process was actually supposed to only take 9 months. That was even mandated by Congress when they passed that act back in 2009 and then amended it more recently. So that's part of why there's lawsuits, because it's been taking way longer than 9 months. If the administration can channel a lot more resources and staffing to focus on the security vetting, then they might be able to get it back down to a number of months. And we just saw the administration authorize several hundred million dollars just to help with this relocation effort. And we can anticipate some of that will go to the agencies and staffing for the vetting process. So those cuts, while they are still in place, we see the administration has been making some ground in the past few months. It really remains to be seen, though, absolutely how much there can be done in such a short time under such a crunch.
Thanks for the call, Marie. We'll go to Steve now in Waukesha. Steve, hi.
Hi, my question is, how soon will these people be employable? If I wanted to employ these people, if they're staying in Wisconsin and I'm looking for workers, how do I go about, is there a way to get around this where I can actually get these people to come work for me, some way they can find out about who I am and connect that way?
Steve, thanks. Interesting question, Elise. A pipeline for new refugees once they're done with their process here in the state.
Yeah, that's a great question from Steve, too. So part of the refugee resettlement process, and it includes the SIVs as well, because they're eligible for the same benefits as refugees, is focused on this idea of self-sufficiency. So a lot of that means being employable really within the first 6 months. In fact, those resettlement benefits run out pretty quickly, just after 8 months. So they're expected to already have training and have a job. My advice to someone like Steve, who would be looking to make contact to hire some of these refugees and, you know, get that money flowing back into the economy, since refugees do contribute a lot into the local economies where they live, would be to contact one of the main refugee resettlement groups and the groups that you're hearing about, like from Don, you know, that we had on earlier, who's working with them, because they will be able to directly make those connections.
Thanks a lot for the call, Steve. Just in our last minute, Elise, we've focused on these special immigrant visa applicants. What are you watching for the overall refugee situation in Afghanistan? There's a lot of people obviously not covered by this special category.
Absolutely. I think the lack of clarity on the numbers is something I'm going to keep trying to pin down. We've heard as many as 300,000 Afghans might be vulnerable to persecution or death in retaliation for partnering in somehow with the U.S. mission in Afghanistan. So beyond the SIVs, you know, what will the administration be willing and able to do? And how will other countries share in that responsibility, since it is sort of a collective problem? And right now in Iran and Pakistan are bearing the brunt of the responsibility sharing in the region.
Elise, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
We've been talking to Elise Cohen, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. She researches refugees, human rights, and U.S. foreign policy. She talked to us today about Afghans seeking refugee status here in the United States, especially under the special immigrant visa applying to people who had worked with the U.S. military and other agencies over the course of the 20-year U.S. involvement in Afghanistan.